Hey, here's a fun game you can play at home while you listen to The Ron Van Dam Show. Do a shot of your favorite alcohol every time Ron sighs or makes a grumpy sound. No, hold on. Hold on, I'm kidding. Please don't do that. You will die from alcohol poisoning. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
All right, don't make a big deal out of it.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, in a little more than 6 months, it's going to be Christmas. Get your shopping done early. All right. Okay. Hey, thanks for being here, kids. I mean, this is fantastic, the fact that we can just get together and share a pizza and sit down and talk. This is great. I feel so good. Oh. No. Hey, they reached an agreement on the debt ceiling, and it passed through the House and through the Senate, and President Biden is signing it, and everybody's happy, but not really, because most of them aren't happy. It's just like life itself. Are you happy? Yes, I'm happy. Are you really? No, not really. Hey, Ron, how you doing? How's everything? Oh, fine, fine. Is it really fine? No, it's horrible. What are you kidding me? Well, it's the Friday edition of the show, which gets us through the weekend, and then I'm back on Monday. So that's about it. Have a nice day. Wait a minute, I forgot to do the show. How could I forget that? I thought I already did it. No, Ron, you didn't. Wow. You know, yesterday, I can't believe this happened to me yesterday, and it's probably happened to you. That's why I'll talk about it so we can have a connection, as superficial as it may be. Yesterday, I actually couldn't find my keys. Oh, my God. I mean, whoa. I don't even need keys anymore. I've got fobs, and Alexa opens everything for me. Yesterday, I actually said, Alexa, let's have sex. And she did. It was incredible, too. It was virtual, but, you know, any port in the storm, if you know what I mean. I have no idea. I don't know. I went to the movies last week, saw a really excellent movie. Can't remember the name of it, so never mind. But they had what they call trailers, and trailers are coming attractions of films that are about to appear in theaters or next month in theaters in order to tease you. They're really teasers. They call them trailers, and oddly enough, they come before the movie that you wanted to see. They were really trailers, and they'd be after the movie, because trailers are behind, you know, they're like the caboose. But no, they show them up front, so they're not really trailers, they're coming attractions. Let's get that part straight right now. In the movie theater that I go to, they show coming attractions for about 7 hours. It's unbelievable, and the movie that I paid to see never seems to really happen. As a matter of fact, the trailers are longer than the movie itself. Trailers and coming attractions in movie theaters are kind of interesting because they show you all the best parts in order to tease you. Then you go to the movies and you say, wait, I saw all these parts before. These were the best parts. Now you're just showing me the best parts again with all the sucky parts that are actually in the movie. So really, when you see these coming attractions, well, that looks really, really good. Those are some funny little clips they showed. Hey, Bozo, That's the best of the film that they're showing you. Everything else is not that good. Oh no. Oh, they lured me in again. They fooled me again. Yes, they did. Over and over and over again. You idiot. Yeah, that's what coming attractions are. There's no point to paying money to see the whole movie. These are the best parts. Now go home. Just whoa, what are you doing here, man? I don't know. Anyway, so there were about at least 7 or 8 of these coming attraction trailers before the movie actually came on the screen. And out of the 7 or 8 of them, 6 of them were movies produced or something with DC Comics. Now, look, I was a kid once. I wasn't really into comic books. I understand what DC Comics are. Stan Lee put this concept together. I don't know. It's Spike Lee, Stan Lee, Christopher Lee, Bruce Lee. I don't know. There's a lot of Lees going on. Anyway, they are movies that involve these superhuman characters. And here's the problem with that, is that they all seem to suck. They're all exactly the same. The only thing that changes are the superhuman characters from movie to movie. Sometimes they even have 2 or 3 superhuman characters in the same movie just to, so you go, whoa, there's 2 or 3 superhuman characters in this movie. But they all have one thing in common. They're all exactly the same. The plot's the same. Everything seems fine at the beginning of the movie, and then there are some crimes being committed by evil people, and the superhuman people save people. And then about a third of the way through the film, we meet what is apparently the most evil, horrible superhuman entity in the world, or in the galaxy, or the universe, or in creation. This horrible evil thing is either a monster or a guy that says, I'm out to destroy the world. And they threaten destruction to the entire planet. That's oh my God, the entire planet is in trouble. Every single of the ones of these DC comics, same goddamn plot. I'm sorry to say, I said the word plot, and I'm sorry. And then these superhuman characters are knocked down, and they get in fights, but not like street fights. They get into fights, and then they get tossed into the sides of buildings, you know, things like that. The buildings fall down, but the guys are fine. They get up again, and they keep fighting. These superhuman characters apparently are very superhuman. And then there's this big, big battle at the end where things get destroyed. The entire world gets destroyed, but the superhuman character apparently walks away fine and everything's good. Same plot. Someone is going to destroy the world and the superhuman characters have to save the planet every single freaking time. Bridges always collapse in these movies. Buildings always collapse. Cars flip over. People die. There's blood all over the place. Good times, man. Good times. This is escapism for us. Is this where we are? In order to escape reality, we have to see destruction and death. What? What are you, crazy? Do you understand? You are sitting in a movie theater with your feet, you know, elevated in one of those fancy movie chairs, and you're watching the planet being destroyed and people dying and cars falling over on top of people and people screaming and running for their lives, and you're sitting there eating popcorn. This is entertainment to you? I'm surprised we don't have PTSD virtually. What the hell's wrong with us? We used to like enjoy a good comedy, you know, something like that, to take our minds off of our problems. Now to take our minds off our problems, we watch the planet being destroyed. Get out of here with those movies. Gee, I wonder what's going to happen in this particular DC comic movie. I don't know. We'll have to see it to find out what happens at the end. Come on, man. Come on. Now they have superhuman characters for everything. Super strength, super eyesight, super crotch grabbing. That's the superhuman Trump character. And then Spider-Man, you know, who can scale buildings like a spider. I mean, I've never seen a spider scale a building, but whatever the case may be. Superhuman hearing. I can hear things all across the universe. It's the strangest superhuman abilities. Toenail fungus man. Yeah, unbelievable. And they can all fly or leap really high. That's, you know, high or fly, leap, or really strong. And they fling each other into buildings and into bridges and things like that. Everything collapses. Everything goes. Cities are destroyed in these movies. Yeah, they are. You like your city? You like your town? Watch it completely flattened. You know, it's like a tornado came through, but no, it's not. It's a movie. And here's the problem with all of this. As we have with life itself, we have become immune to this kind of violence and destruction. It happens in real life when a tornado or a hurricane rips through a town and flattens everything. Or you can watch it on a movie screen. I don't know one way or the other. I've got to see cities and towns flattened. I just love it, right? Oh, God. What's wrong with us? Well, what's wrong with you? I don't enjoy it, so what's wrong with you? Why are we so hunger for death and destruction? Now, again, here's the biggest problem. It's not even done well anymore. We have a thing called CGI. What that stands for, the Congress Geriatric Institution. I really don't know. It's the computer graphics are so advanced and sophisticated that they're not impressive anymore. That's how sophisticated they are. It doesn't even impress us. Because you can do anything with computer generated stuff. You can make people fly around and buildings collapse and it looks completely normal and completely real. Okay. All right. I know you can do it. So now, like, stop doing it. I mean, all right. I've seen it before 1,000 times. Okay, now I'm not impressed. When I was younger, there was a movie called 2001: A Space Odyssey. Did you see it? If you're from this present generation, you don't know what the hell I'm talking about. It was a movie about space travel, and it was produced in the 60s, late 60s. Mid or late 60s, I don't know which. Stanley Kubrick was a director. It was an amazing film, and it showed you space travel and these satellites and these space shuttle things going to different planets, and it was unbelievable because there was no CGI then. There were no computer animations of any real sort. They were done with models. Not Playboy models, but model spaceships and things like that. They were done with models in a studio with lighting and backgrounds, and it was incredibly real and incredibly impressive. And it happened to be actually produced in a format called Cinerama. And again, kids don't understand what I'm talking about. Cinerama was a movie screen. Not every theater had it, obviously. A movie screen that wrapped really around the side of the theater. So when that thing was on the screen, you were in that movie. You were in it in ways that you couldn't imagine. The sound was coming from the sides. Now that's completely common. Then it wasn't. And the picture was actually, the screen curved around to your peripheral eyesight on the sides. That movie was an incredible experience. Way too long, but it was an incredible experience because it was done was like, whoa, okay, like how they do this. They actually just shot this with cinematographer cameras, and it was like there were no computers doing this. That was phenomenal. Now when I see these movies that are computer generated or computer enhanced or whatever, you know, these DC comic fights and all that, destruction of cities and towns. Who was it? Shania Twain, who had that song, "That Don't Impress Me Much." That's where I'm at with this stuff. I don't go to see the DC comic movies. There's a new movie called Shazam 2, as if Shazam 1 wasn't enough. What happens in Shazam 2? Same stuff that happened in Shazam 1. Bunch of kids become superhuman adults just by clicking a finger or something. Either bitten by a spider or a cockroach or something. I don't know. And they battle these evil villains that want to destroy the planet. That's interesting. Do these movies actually require writers? I mean, no, not really. I don't understand. And they're very popular and kids love them and all that stuff. I mean, come on. I mean, we were concerned about computer games, how that would ruin the kids' mindset on violence. Yeah, well, now we've taken it to the next step. We've perfected the violence to the point where it looks so incredibly real, even though it didn't really happen. And then we put people in front of the movie screen, and it's like, it's like waterboarding or something. It's like mind control. It's like you become immune to violence. And in this country, as we have the mass shootings increasing in volume all the time, it's just become sick. It's just a sick concept to go to the movies, put popcorn in your lap, and watch people suffering and dying and decapitations and destruction of property and bridges and cars falling into the water below and people running for their lives and screaming and grabbing their babies and children and puppy dogs and this is fun. Isn't this fun, Bob? I used to think that horror movies around Halloween were incredibly sick to watch, because there you're looking at decapitations, people being thrown into wood chippers with blood spraying all over the place, and there's that popcorn in our lap again. Mm-hmm. Look at that head roll down the street. And then you realize that in real life, this can happen, and it does. There are some very gruesome murders that take place. Any murder is gruesome, let's face it. Anyone, they're all gruesome. And this is our society. This is where we are. And you can't fight it, and you can't run from it. This is where we are. And you know why this is where we are? Is because society wants it. If society didn't want it, they wouldn't do it. If these kinds of movies didn't fill the movie theaters, they wouldn't make them. But they do. Because we go to them. And we don't go to them because they're there. We go to them because we want them to be there. And that's how sick we are. I don't want to talk about politics, but this kind of rolls into that as well. We are just being mind controlled and mind blown into these situations that aren't even really there. And if they are, they're blown out of proportion or even created for our entertainment purposes or to rile us up, divide us, and make us angry. We're an angry society. We are. Oh, yes, we are. I was brought up during the Love Generation. Actually, I wasn't brought up in it. I existed in it, I should say. I wasn't brought up in it. It was love, peace, and free sex. Now I have to pay for the sex. But back then it was free. And people were loving. Yeah, they were smoking pot, but they were mellow. And they were, everybody smokes pot now anyway, so then what's the difference? But what happened to that generation? You know what happened? They grew up and turned into nasty, grumpy old people. I don't understand it. I don't. It'd be one of the mysteries of life to me is why we turn to the violence even for our entertainment purposes. Okay, I have a guest that's going to join us, but first this commercial break. And I hope you're having a good time and, you know, just chill out a little bit, will you?
Everyone's doing a chicken sandwich these days, but nobody does it quite like Burger Guy. Introducing Burger Guy's new all-beef chicken sandwich. It starts with three of our signature paper-thin patties and a hearty helping of our something-like-cheese sauce on a delicious day-old bun. So what makes it a chicken sandwich? Well, every Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich is topped with a crispy, Cajun spice, free-range chicken beak. It's the tastiest part of the chicken. Science tells us so. The new all-beef chicken sandwich. Available for a limited time, only at Burger Guy.
The Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich is available as a meal combo with the Burger Guy metric ton of fries and keg of soda. The Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich contains less than 2% chicken by weight and should not be confused with a chicken sandwich containing more than 2% chicken. Consult your physician before eating anything at Burger Guy, ever.
Dr. Erin Fletcher joins us. She's director of Warrior Case Network, the Warrior Care Network, and Tanya is also here. She's Tanya Oxendine, who is an Army veteran with Wounded Warrior Project. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Hope I got that information correct. Was I close?
Yes, very close. Warrior Care Network, yes, okay. Part of Wounded Warrior Project.
Very good. Okay. We're talking about technology that has to do with the care processes. You're both obviously involved with this. What are the technologies that are actually involved in programs like this?
Sure, that's a great question. One of the treatment modalities that we use at Warrior Care Network, which is our two-week clinical model delivered at one of our four partner organizations, and actually one of our partners is the Home Base Program through Massachusetts General Hospital, so a little Boston collaboration there. And so we provide virtual reality therapy combined with prolonged exposure therapy. And virtual reality allows a warrior to re-experience situations and painful memories that they've been spending a lot of time trying to avoid. Mm-hmm. And we know that that avoidance really limits where they can go and how they experience their world. And virtual reality creates that safe place for them to experience those traumas and to really learn the skills and the tools necessary to feel empowered to get back to living a full life.
This is something
that Tanya has gone through personally.
Oh, okay. Tanya, my layperson reaction would be, in order to revisit the very things that traumatized me, was that at first like a shock to you?
Yeah, it absolutely was a shock. And in layman's terms, it was just, you know, scary to be, you know, asked or, you know, part of this treatment. And I was, you know, hesitant in the beginning, but, you know, I trusted my medical team. I trusted the therapist, and I wanted to heal. So I had to trust the process to go and you know, do something like this. But it was definitely scary in the beginning. I'm happy that I did it because I am on the road to continuing to heal. It's helped me a great deal.
Wow. On the surface, it doesn't make sense, but I guess, Dr., regular psychotherapy is, that's what that is. You go to the places that bothered you and discover them, and then you work through them. Is that the theory?
Yeah, and so, you know, it's natural. You bring up a great point. It seems very counterintuitive to face the thing that makes you feel, you know, so scared or powerless or helpless. And then so, you know, you do all these things to try to avoid it, but what ends up happening is you're still feeling all of those same feelings, only your world has gotten a lot smaller, feeling a lot more isolated, mm-hmm. and it actually increases those feelings of hopelessness and helplessness.
Wow.
So as Tanya described, the courage and the bravery it takes to say, hey, I'm ready to get help and I'm going to go into, you know, all into this is incredible, mm-hmm. and it works.
Tanya, when what was the difference between actually going through these experiences in real time when they were happening and doing it in a virtual reality setting? Is there some kind of feeling of grounding when you're going through the virtual reality, or did it put you right back where you were literally?
Well, the object of it, and Aaron can, you know, uh-huh. come in on that, but it's to put you right back in that again, the, all those feelings and traumas that I personally was avoiding, you know, it puts you back into that situation as best as possible, virtual reality.
Right.
The sounds, the sights, the smells, you know, it puts you back in the vehicle, the same place that you remember sitting and those type of things. And, you know, you go through this virtual reality again with all the sounds and the sights and that, engines roaring, bombs going off. And it, again, it may sound counterintuitive, but after you're done with that part of the treatment, now it's so fresh and new to you that you're able to go under your therapist and you're able to discuss that and decide and figure out what is, you know, what is bothering you, again, to dig down deep and pull back those layers to get to the core of what the issues may be.
Wow. This is like literally mind-blowing. I mean...
Basically,
this is what it does. Dr. Fletcher, how long does that process take before one becomes fairly comfortable with the situation?
Yeah, I think this is the absolute best part about our Warrior Care Network program is in just 2 weeks, your symptoms are reducing.
Whoa.
On average, you know, veterans that come through our program are coming in at, you know, severe levels of PTSD. And when they graduate the program, they're at moderate to mild levels. And most importantly, these results last well past their time at Warrior Care Network. So just 2 weeks.
Wow. It sounds like this is new technology. I've never heard of this before. I assume it's fairly new. Is it that well known throughout the Wounded Warrior world, or even veterans, would they even be aware that this program is existing?
Yes. So virtual reality, treatments like virtual reality and prolonged exposure are very well researched. You know, at Wounded Warrior Project, we're only going to, you know, invest in programs that offer the high quality, effective care. And so we know that it's particularly effective for veterans, and we've been offering it for nearly a decade, and our warriors tell us it works. You've heard, you know, Tanya's experience, and warriors that come through this program, they complete it. So it sounds, as you described, like it sounds really scary and really like, why would I want to do that? But over 90% of the veterans that come through the program complete it, compared to about 50% in other programs. And 96% of the patients going through are satisfied with the care that they receive, and they would tell one of their battle buddies about it.
Wow.
It's incredible.
Wow. It's an amazing conversation. I mean, you think about kids who are doing virtual reality and putting themselves in in war situations on purpose.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, hey, kids, you have no idea.
And we're happy that you have no idea.
Yes.
We're grateful.
Right.
That you have no idea.
Yeah, really. Okay, how would one find out about these programs? I assume that this is more prevalent than one would imagine.
It is. And so you, warriors, veterans, their loved ones, can check out our website at woundedwarriorproject.org /combatstigma to really learn about all of the mental health programs that Wounded Warrior Project offers, you know, tips for loved ones on how they can help support their veteran go through this process. And I think I would be, you know, remiss if I didn't say that all of Wounded Warrior Project's programs and services come at no cost to the veterans and families that we serve.
Excellent.
So in 2 weeks at no cost, you can have your life back.
Wow. It's great. At the same time, it's kind of sad that this technology didn't exist when an entire generation kind of really went through this as well, back in, the, in the World Wars. But, I mean, I'm grateful this occurs and that it's available. One more time, the website, please.
Sure. WoundedWarriorProject.org /combat stigma.
Great. Well, Dr. Aaron Fletcher, thank you so much. Tanya, thank you so much for bringing this to our attention.
Thank you.
Well, thank you to my guests and thank you to you. I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace. We'll be right back.